Vice President Dick Cheney's schedule for today seems like that of any other Monday. A meeting with the president, talking with reporters, and promoting the administration's energy policy. Cheney returns to work this morning after a surgical procedure Saturday to implant a device that will regulate his heartbeat and restart it if it stops beating. Commentator Kevin Phillips wonders what would happen to the Bush White House if Cheney weren't around to do the heavy lifting.
Seven vice presidents have died in office, but it was generally from age or illness. For the most part, they didn't have much to do. Cheney's workload, by contrast, has been heavy. Too heavy for a man with his record of heart trouble. 60 years old, he's had four heart attacks since 1978, the last one on November 22nd. Back in 1988, he had a quadruple bypass operation. In March of this year, a balloon angioplasty. On Saturday, he had a device installed that can regulate and restart the heart if necessary. And this is where the politics comes in, as it always does with the health of a White House occupant. Cheney, who had been defense secretary under George Bush Sr., was chosen to be his son's running mate last year when it became clear that George W. needed a loyal vice president who could take over a considerable part of what used to be the president's own job. Cheney had the qualifications, although his heart condition gave some people pause. At any rate, it's fair to ponder several possibilities. One is that Cheney, for health reasons, may at some point have to step down as vice president. The second is that he may soldier on out of loyalty to the Bush family and the Republican Party, and under the worst scenario, die one day at his desk. It's also possible that he could continue in office despite several more medical episodes, and that his condition could become a political issue in 2002 or 2004. Several of these outcomes would bring on something of a crisis. Even at this point, some Democrats are sure to argue that if George W. could do his own job, Cheney wouldn't have to fill the breach. But a tense national dialogue would ensue if Cheney had to be replaced. Under normal circumstances, the different Republican factions could jostle, as usual, for the vice presidency and its stepladder to the presidency. In replacing Cheney, however, there could be another unusual criterion: George W. Bush's need for a special sort of advisor and helper. Not a few commentators have described Cheney as a vice president who was also, in a sense, shading into a second role as prime minister. Still others describe Cheney, Secretary of State Colin Powell, and Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld as forming a kind of three-man regency, akin to those often seen in monarchies when the new king was just an inexperienced boy. All of these considerations will continue to lurk in the background. During the 19th century, vice presidents mattered so little that when several died in office, the position remained unoccupied for 2 or even 3 years. But that's not an option in this century, and especially not in the George W. Bush administration.
The comments of Kevin Phillips. His newest book is The Cousins Wars: Religion, Politics, and the Triumph of Anglo-America.